What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. I'm Jack Allen. First, hit me up on the socials at Kojak Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to support the show, I've got like two new Patreon supporters. Someone sent me a Venmo, so you can support me that way as well. And I put all the links in the description or show notes, whatever it's called. But thank you for the new supporters. Guys, you are making my day. I get like a little email. It'll say, you know, so-and-so is supporting your show. So thank you. I am honored. Like, I am just so beyond disbelief that you guys enjoy the show that much. So thank you. Thank you. But go follow me at Kojak Podcast. Leave a review on the Apple Podcast or Spotify, wherever you listen. Those mean so much to me as well. I share them with my parents, my fiance. So today, Odd Man's on the show. We talk a little Ukraine. We talk a little Jesuits and a little Illuminati. And it's a great show. You know, I love the Odd Man. What can I say? I love the guy. So it's a lot of fun. And tomorrow, if you're, you know, East Coast, like 7 p.m., I'm going to start. But I got the part three, and there's going to be four parts of this Jesuit book. And, dude, these two episodes that are coming up are, like, my mind is literally melted, dude. It is so wild and crazy. I was just talking to Odd Man about it. Like, everything, all these little moves and tricks. America is a Roman vassal state, a Jesuit vassal state, for 100% certain. All of those founding fathers are Freemasons, which was started by the Jesuits, controlled by the Black Pope. Our sayings are in Latin, as you know, on our dollar bill and everything. These come directly from the Viginad, something like that, which was the Roman Bible, essentially pagan Roman Bible during Caesar's time. I mean, dude, all of our symbols, the eagle symbolizes Jupiter. That's the Roman god with the lightning bolts. That was his symbol. The fasces symbol that's in the house, the Capitol building. That's a Roman pagan symbol. All this stuff, and we're going to go over some of it this episode and then really hit symbolism hard on the fourth episode. But this one's still crazy. It sets it all up. And so I don't want to get too much into it because I could just keep talking. Jesus. All right. Well, so yeah, go follow @_ the Odd Man Out. And go follow me. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the show, and I will see you tomorrow. I'm Jack Allen with Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. Take care, guys. All right, everyone. What is going on? That's my new sound effects. I'm Jack Allen with Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. Thanks for joining me. Today, I have it's been too long, my man, Odd Man, thanks for coming on the show, dude. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me once again. It's always a pleasure.
But
we were talking before the show started. I kind of got obsessed with the whole Ukraine thing, so that's kind of been taking up my time, unfortunately.
Because, well, dude, like, I have such a bare, like, I know I could find Ukraine on a map. But beyond that, I know nothing of, like, what's really going on and all those things.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say for sure, but I definitely, if you look into Zbigniew Brzezinski, the guy that started the Trilateral Commission with David Rockefeller, he was like a big strategist, you know, and he wrote a lot about Ukraine, especially, like, there was this book, The Grand Chessboard, which I think came out in like maybe 1980 or something like that. Or actually, it might have been a few years later.
Not the devil's chessboard, the grand chessboard.
The grand chessboard, okay. Yeah. And he was, he talked a lot in there about Ukraine and how he basically said that NATO needed to expand and bring Ukraine and all these other nations near there, like Belarus and in Poland and all that. And I think that Poland is a part of NATO now, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, long story short, if it's all real, I'm sure not everything is real, but you know what I mean? If there's actually, we're to believe that Russia is invading Ukraine and America's pissed off about it, then it seems to me like there's been a plan to do that for a very long time. It's like, it's kind of like a strategic area for Russia. And that I think that's why the globalists want to have Ukraine, because they staged a coup there in 2014.
Right. And I remember that was before I paid attention. I was busy doing other things, but I remember there was like chaos there a few years back.
Yeah, they had a pro-Russian president at the time. And so the State Department under Obama decided that they would go in and overthrow that government for an anti-Russian government, because they were trying to get, they really want Ukraine to be a part of the EU and not a part of Russia. And so, you know, they can't let them have it, because like there's strategic airfields there for Russia and Ukraine that they can use all year long. There is a entrance to the Black Sea for the ports there and different things like that. And, you know, it's just one of those things. It's like, we may have said this on the last show, but like, you know, America and its allies can have this sphere of influence all over the globe, or I better not say globe because I don't want to offend some people, but all over the world, you know, but Russia can't have even a little bit of influence, you know, over. But, you know, it's not that I condone what they're doing, but they've been, you know, the U.S. and NATO have been expanding for years. And, you know, that started like when the Soviet Union fell, they kind of promised that they wouldn't expand NATO. And now you've got, you know, all these countries that are a part of NATO. And there was talk of Ukraine getting in, like this Zelensky guy started talking about becoming a part of NATO and even mentioned getting nukes. And so, you know, from what people can tell, that was kind of like, okay, you know, Russia and Putin has been warning about this for years. And that kind of like was the last draw. But then I don't want to come up and say, you know, that I think that Putin's this great guy and you know, he's like the savior of the world or anything like that, because, you know, he's been doing the whole COVID lockdowns, vaccine mandates, and all that crap. You know, he's a part of the UN Sustainable Development, or Russia is. He spoke at the World Economic Forum, and he's a part of that. And one of his, I think one of his cabinet members or one of the members of the Russian government is a part of the board of directors of the World Economic Forum. So there's no clear good guy. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, you watch Nick Fuentes at all? I just saw him. He did a good debate on the Kill Stream. Everyone should go. I mean, however you feel about him, I don't but they're both two intelligent guys, and they, the Groypers or whatever, they have gravitated towards Putin. And I guess a lot of people on the right as this like savior against the demonic West, orthodoxy and all this stuff like that. And dude, I refuse to believe
I mean, he's like I said, a part of the sustainable development. I mean, he's been going along with that. Russia just I think like this month, maybe late last month, they decided to do the digital currency, and it's actually under the Russian bank. And, you know, he's up for all this transhumanism, just like all these other globalists. So this is what I think, where I'm at right now, and I may change my mind. I think he's a part of the whole globalist system, Putin and you know, the higher ups in Russia, but they want their cut. They want to be a part of it. And I think that the rest, you know, the West, they don't really want Russia to have very much of a say, or maybe not even be a part of that whole thing. They may just want to control it, you know, for whatever reasons. You know, maybe it's just greed. Maybe it's because they're afraid Russia will expand with China and different, states. I don't know. But for some reason, they don't want him to be a big player in it. But, you know, this thing may kind of turn out differently than a lot of people think, you know, because we think about America with all the might and we're arming Ukraine like crazy, and NATO is arming Ukraine. But it seems like some of these other states are starting to pull back, you know, even small Hadistan, they haven't come out clearly in support of either Ukraine or Russia. And I think that's because they have financial ties to both places. They had an open trade deal with Ukraine, I think, in 2020s when that started. And they've got various deals with Russia. So, and I've seen several other states that haven't committed. I'm not sure. I think India might be one of them, but I could be wrong about that.
Well, yeah, so, I saw India, like, they're still, they abstained from that vote, which is hilarious. Like, and they also said they would provide Russia with pharmaceuticals, which I just found, like, funny, because, like, I don't know why I find it funny. It's just funny, dude. Like, this country, like, you see them on Twitter, like, the Indian people on Twitter, like, they'll champion Israel because they hate Palestine and they hate the Muslims. And now, they'll be like, we stand with whoever. And then now it's, you know, I don't know. It's just like, in my mind, it's kind of funny, but.
Yeah. No, that is funny, man. It really is. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's like there's no clear good guy, but I think a lot of people, like you were saying, I think last time I was on, you're like, we live in this superhero, you know, the superhero versus the villain world. Everything's black and white. You know, it's so simplified that there's a clear evil doer and a clear, you know, kind of like savior of mankind or whatever. And people are looking at Putin because they're pissed off at the American government. You know, a lot of people are disenfranchised and you can't blame them. And I think they're kind of putting their hope in him. You know what I mean? Because people are so simple. You know, I hate to say it, but even the alt, you know, media community, they're kind of, we can kind of be kind of simple and really emotional at times. And I'm guilty as anybody. But yeah, I mean, like Putin, like the Russian government has a deal with AstraZeneca. They partnered with AstraZeneca during this whole COVID thing and actually have this cocktail, you know, kind of a vax poke. And it's, sorry, and it's, what's it called? Sputnik V.
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah. And yeah, they got all kinds of stuff going on. So they're definitely a part of the whole Great Reset New World Order. But as sad as that is, and I know it's going to piss off a lot of people, but you know, that being said, NATO is clearly, I think, evil. I think they're the armed kind of branch of the New World Order, and they keep expanding. And I think they're just going to continue to grab these other nations. And when any country has an issue with any of those other countries in NATO, then they all have to get involved if they're asked. And, you know, America, of course, our tax dollars pay for more than any other country in NATO. And yeah. And like, I mean, look at it, man. If you think about the war on terror, billions and billions of dollars have went into that. Wasted, you know, there's so much money that, you know, can't be accounted for. And then you think about like Biden pulling out of Afghanistan and leaving all that military equipment and weapons, you know, and then the next thing you know, they're giving all this money to Ukraine. It's like there is so much money being laundered. People are getting kickbacks and favors. It's just, it's such a racket. And I don't understand, you know, how more people can't see that. But
yeah, well, I think you bring up a great point that people, they're so upset with the United States government, they were lost. I mean, no one feels any attachment or identity to being American. So we're putting our faith, then you pick the enemy of my enemy is my, whatever that goddamn saying is. Cause that's probably what it is. Oh, well, if my government I hate's picking on this guy, he must be the good guy. Cause they're picking on him and you know, but.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's so many, like you go back to 2004, I think it was called the Orange Revolution in Ukraine, and the Soros Foundation, they were behind that partially, you know, funding that kind of stuff. And they've got a bunch of NGOs in Ukraine, and they've been pouring money in there by the millions and millions since the 90s. So they've got a real hold on that. They were partially funding these right-wing militants in Nazi militants in 2014 to cause that whole overthrow of the government. It's so crazy, man, because, you know, our deep state is working, you know, hand in hand with the open society and George Soros. And
yeah,
so it's like, and it doesn't matter if it's a Republican or Democrat, it seems that they still work hand in hand together. And then you got this, if you'll notice a lot of these color revolutions, if you look, it's usually in a place where Soros has a foundation, like Kazakhstan. They have the Kazakhstan, I think it's called the Soros Kazakhstan Foundation. but they've got this, I think it's called the International Renaissance Foundation in Ukraine. That's one of the biggest ones. And I started looking into kind of like who was all involved in that. And you look at Blinken, you know, the Secretary of State, yeah. Anthony Blinken. So his dad and stepmom worked for Open Societies for years years. Yeah. And they've even got an archive named after them at the Open Societies Foundation. And then another little thing, I tweeted about this the other day. His stepfather, see, his name was Samuel Pissar. He was Robert Maxwell's lawyer, Ghislaine's dad. So it's like all these crazy. And then the guy they put in charge, like as the president in 2014, I started looking into him. Oh, he's got a weird name. I can't remember now, but they call him Yatsenik, I think was his last name. And he had this foundation called the Open Ukraine Foundation, which I assumed was part of the Open Societies, right. But I couldn't find George Soros's name on it. Looked like he started it in like 2006 or 2007. So it was before 2014, obviously, that overthrow. And so they chose him. And if you look, you can go back and look at all their donors up until, I think, 2017. And it's, you know, it's the Atlantic Council. It's NATO. It's all these different ones that you would imagine. And so there you go. There's proof that NATO has been wanting to, you know, get in there, right. and have that influence for a long, long time.
Well, they had their man. Like, oh, no, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, and it tells me that they picked that guy, Yatsenyuk, ahead of time. They said he'll be the right one we can put in charge because he'll be anti-Russian and he'll push for getting Ukraine in the EU and all that stuff. And so they have these long held plans, man. They know exactly what they're doing.
Dude, that's what they've done so long. Like we talked about the Boer War. I mean, the Boer War was like a mini war trying to get Germany in that involved with World War I. They were working on for like 12 years, 15 years of just poking and poking and poking. And seeing, and you know, they didn't take the bait. All right, we got to do it. And they just kept doing it. And then World War One happened and it was planned hindsight, it's planned perfectly.
Yeah. You know, I think we've talked about it before. You know, it's like average people, they can't think about things like off into the future, you know, and our lives are so different. If you're a paid strategist or a paid, person by these think tanks that are connected to governments and banks and stuff like that, you're actually paid to come up with these elaborate plans that may be 10, 20, 30 years down the road or more. And they definitely have planned things out, you know, because I think they're thinking about their future generations and who's going to be in charge and all that stuff.
Well, and also how you just said, like, people are all relate, you know, like you said, Blinken's stepdad was Maxwell. And that, again, like I'm reading that Rulers of Evil book. And dude, like all of these people, like the Carroll family who we were talking about, the Carroll family for everyone, they pretty much owned Maryland, gave it to the federal government. The one was a Jesuit priest, but he, you know, he goes to school with this guy, Thorpe, who was involved in just corruption and with the British government. And so they work together. Like these people are all like roommates or related or married or just somehow connected. Like it's just this, and I know that's like it's that stupid cliche that Carlin says, right? Like it's a big club and you're not, and we're not in it, but it literally is like all of these people go back to like almost like childhood, it seems. And that's all like FDR's uncle was, I forget who, but it was somebody, you know, important that was involved in World War One. It just keeps going. It's like this group that we just can't, well, we will never understand what that's like, you know?
No, like, absolutely not, man. You're right. It's just cronyism all the way around. And that's history, you know, unfortunately. Yeah. That's the way they've been able to get all these things done. So, you know, people, you know how it is. We hear, well, if it was a conspiracy, how could people keep it quiet? But it's usually, you know, just at first, at least, the plan is just among a couple of people, maybe a small crowd. And it's pretty easy to keep a secret if a lot of money is involved in you not telling it, you know,
yeah.
And a lot of power.
Right.
And so I think that's the way it happens. And then once you get it rolling, it just kind of almost, you know, kind of starts to fall in place to an extent, I would imagine.
Well, and also these people know, like, if the truth, if they talked, the public, well, maybe not anymore, but the public would go, and previous gen would come out with pitchforks. These right. days, clearly, I mean, as we know, Hunter Biden's laptop, any regular society would literally freak on this, like with the stuff that's on there. But we just say, oh, well, oh, and they just defend it or whatever. It's just so, we're like so neutered and weak. Oh, mm-hmm. Carl says three can keep a secret if two are dead. And that's another good point. If anybody yeah. is maybe thinking about talking, you ride in a helicopter, you get a heart attack, you hit your head, and that's over with. There you go. Solve that problem.
Yeah. You get in a hot tub. It's like no agenda. They always say these guys need to avoid small planes and hot tubs. You know, right. something always happens to them. And we see, yeah, you know, we see it's not just the Clintons, but the Clinton death count, of course, is huge because they have, and it's probably not that they're even that powerful. You know, she probably was more powerful than Bill, really. But like they just know so many very powerful, nefarious people. And it's like I think with Biden and the Clintons and others, they're for sale to the highest bidder. And, you know, the people that they are kind of hang out with, they're power seekers, all of them. And like Hunter, that whole thing's kind of funny because Burisma Holdings, you know, that was in Ukraine.
Right. I know.
And so you kind of start to draw these lines and, you know, people want to say it's a conspiracy, but it's not a conspiracy. I mean, like I said, billions and billions of dollars have been poured into Ukraine. So I'm sure there's going to be more things found out there, but it's been pretty interesting. And one more thing I'll say quickly too, you know, I was fascinated by the Nazis, like the Azov Battalion,
oh, yeah.
the Svoboda Party, the Right Sector. I think it's C-16 is this Nazi youth movement there. There's these Banderists. What are they called? I'm blanking on the name now, but anyway, there's all these different groups and, so, and they're in, and some of them are in, actually political parties are inside the government of Ukraine. But, you know, on the other hand, I got to looking and you have with the Russians, you have this group called the Wagner Group. And this guy, I don't have his name right in front of me. I'm sorry. He was a general. He was connected to Putin. He's you can see pictures of him with Putin. But he's known to be a Nazi. He's got these SS tattoos and whatnot. And so the Wagner Group is this mercenary group that Russia
they're has, mercenaries.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're kind of nefarious because they haven't been able to track them down exactly. Like there's pictures of them and there's traces of them and people who've talked about them and stuff like that. But they've been really careful who like there's no paper trail, basically. And so I think that they've been real smart about that. But, you know, but really, can America have a leg to stand on? Because I know America and the Brits, too, they hire these mercenary groups like Blackwater and different ones. And, you know, according to William Ramsey, Eric Prince has got Nazi ties, too. So, you know, it's just crazy. There's no clear good guys.
Yeah. And I wonder also, like, when they say Nazi groups, like, what do they really mean? Like, so I think the members of, like, the Azov, I mean, I posted that picture. The guy's got, you know, swastikas all over him, and he looks like a nut job, face tattoos. But, like, that Nazi ideal, in my mind, is kind of dead. Like, there is no, like, eugenics definitely still is a thing. They just rebranded that. But the other ideals they're gone, right? There is no nationalism. Like maybe they let them, it's just like another way to radicalize people. They're in this group. They think they're fighting for Nazi ideals, right? Would you agree? Like the Nazi idea is gone, dude. There is no power.
Well, I did agree until I really got to diving into this. And I'm surprised there's been a lot of, they seem to have been disappearing just since I've started looking into it, but a lot of videos and mini documentaries, even Time Magazine did one on, I think it was the Azov Battalion, but it might've been the Right Sector. I think BBC did one. The Guardian wrote a lot of articles about him.
Of course they did. Yeah.
But these guys, there were quite a few people at these rallies, and they were some scary mofos. And they were, dude, it was like so reminiscent of the things we've seen with the Nazis, the chanting and the flags and the uniforms and the, and like these guys talk openly about, you know, getting rid of other ethnicities and wanting a pure blood Ukraine. And I was like, what the hell? So I've been pretty amazed by that. But, you know, it's so far away and so removed from the Western world that, you know, we wouldn't really know too much unless we'd seen those few documentaries and articles. But, you know, here in the States, I think, I mean, I don't think there's, there might be a few pockets where those kind of guys have some power, but they could never be open about it here anymore, right. You know, so they would have to hide it, and they don't have to hide it there. So,
That's interesting, dude.
Yeah.
But I, you know, we know that Ukraine is not going to be able, it's going to turn into a Nazi Germany 2.0. Like I said, I think it would, they're using them to, as pawns to do whatever goal. And then once that's over, once they get a better, they Americanize Ukraine, I'm sure that'll be the end of that. Would you agree with that or no?
Yeah, I think so. Like they use these guys because they're very, they got a really Nordic kind of pagan Nordic kind of vibe to them too. And they're violent and they're, and they have, it's not like all their ideas are bad, you know, wanting some of them like are pro-family and different things like that, but they take things way too far. And they, I think that they're being used because they're violent and tough, and Ukraine has been willing to work with them to fight the ethnic Russians.
Right.
I mean, there's some crazy videos going on where these guys have tied people to telephone poles and stuff like
that. I've seen those.
Yeah. I mean, there's there was one that was, it was pretty sick. I saw it on, I'll just say they were torturing this guy and they cut his head off and stuff like that.
Jesus, dude.
I'm sure that not all of them are, you know, that violent, but you know how it is. You get a large crowd together.
Oh, good luck.
And you got the flags and you got the uniforms and that, you know, get people going, their emotions and stuff like that. And it's pretty wild to see that in this day and age, because we're so apathetic here, you know?
Yeah.
That you couldn't, I mean, people go to BLM rallies, but I think half that is just like a, you know, to socialize and whatnot.
Right,
you
or
know?
To post on Instagram.
Yeah, look at me. I'm doing stuff to make a difference. You know, it's like, no, you're not really. But it's another world. There's a whole other world out there that's pretty wild that I didn't know existed still.
No, Eastern Europe is like a crazy, like it's like America 50 years ago, right? Like it's And some parts that's, this is like not really my dad. So I almost had jury duty, but because of my criminal past, I didn't have to go to jury duty. But my dad was on a jury in 1975 in, you know, around the Philadelphia area. And the guy was being arrested, the court case, because cops bought a porno movie. And it was called like, I don't know, something, whatever, five. And so he was being charged for sale, and he plead out eventually. But isn't that like, dude, that was only, you know, 50 years ago or whatever. And so that's how I imagine like Eastern Europe is like these values of, I'm sure there are, you know, many things. Religion is important. You marry within your religion, your race. And in some.
Yeah. And like, you know, as far as Ukraine goes, I can't remember. I don't want to repeat myself, but I can't remember if I mentioned this on the last show that I was on with you, but like the CIA has been funding Nazis in Ukraine since 1953.
Right.
So there's been a big Nazi presence there for a long time. And there's been so much happening that has happened to Ukraine during that period after World War II, that I think a lot of people probably are really desperate and want some kind of a semblance of order. And it seems like they've just had a string of leaders that have been crooked for a very long time. And like Zelensky, I mean, this guy, you know, he ran on being going to get rid of corruption and going to get rid of the oligarchs. And then.
Really? So he's like Donald Trump.
Exactly. Yeah. And like a populist, basically. Yeah. And even The Guardian did an article that was pretty good, actually, on his from the Pandora Papers. So he had all these like these bank accounts overseas and different places and all this stuff. So he's connected to some really shady people, got multiple homes. I saw, I think it was Globe and Mail or some website the other day. He'd sold one of his homes late last
year. Yeah, it was in Italy.
Yeah, like $4.5 million or something like that. Yeah. It's just like, come on, dude. They always try to put up this everyman, you know. I relate to the people, you know. I think Trump was one of the few exceptions, but he related to them in this other way because he was a good BSer, you know.
Yeah.
He could, but I go back to Jimmy Carter, you know, I'm a peanut farmer. I mean, that was before my time kind of, but like, people say that he was like this really down to earth guy. And then Reagan, you know, they tried to Ronnie Reagan, you know, I'm one of you, I'm Mr. Patriot, you know, and even with Bill Clinton, they did that a little bit, and George Bush, you know, they did that with him. Yeah. And they try to make these guys out to be just, I'm an everyday American like you, but they're elites, you know, and they wouldn't be in that position if they weren't elites and they weren't power hungry.
No. But I wanted to bring that up. You brought up the CIA. I mean, that's what Operation Gladio all was about, was funding these Nazi groups like Gehlen's organization in West Germany. And for any, Gehlen was a Nazi, like high up in the SS. He actually tried to kill Hitler at one point. And at the end of the war, he buried all of his files on the communists in Russia. And he went to the British. They said, no, we don't want you. Went to America and they said, yeah, we want you. Alan Dulles does. And that's why they were selling, the CIA has been selling drugs for the last 50 years to fund. I mean, I know the Grey Wolves, I think they were in Turkey, but all these Nazi groups, I mean, there was over 100,000 people they were paying and arming in Eastern Europe to fight, or I guess, you know, Europe then. That it's not like once Berlin Wall fell, you know, they didn't stop funding them. Like, they need these insurgency groups to do it, either cause mayhem or cause chaos. And
yeah, absolutely. They've used Nazis for so long, you know, and it's like Werner von Braun, he never had to stand trial. You know, he came here. A lot of those guys came here and actually ended up either working for the government or getting to be heads of these different industries or high up in these industries. Right. You know, it's ridiculous how, and people like old Republicans have said to me in the past, well, you know, we were fighting the Soviets, so we had to get those guys or the Soviets would have gotten them. And that's true. But man, if you lie in bed with dogs, you're going to wake up with dogs. You know, I mean, you can't. These guys were very intelligent, but also very evil. And if you let those kind of guys get into your government, they're going to breed, because they're going to, if they get a position of power, they're going to bring in guys that are like them. And if that goes on and on and on, you're going to have a real problem with a, you know, very corrupt government. And I mean, that's not the only issues with our government, but you know what I'm saying?
Well, this is like so in this Rulers of Evil book, and I'm doing the next part 3 tomorrow, but he talks about how like the art of war, you know, like Sun Tzu's art of war, it first got translated back like for English in around that time, like the 1600s, 1700s. And basically he was saying that like all these, even then, like the revolution, all these little wars, the French and Indian War and all this stuff, were all moves made to like trick your enemy into thinking someone's weak, or you know, they kicked out all the Jesuits. That was a trick to make that you think, oh, well, now we don't need to worry about them. They're gone. Oh my God. They're getting picked on also by the same guy. Like, wow. By the bank or the Church of England, like maybe there could be good allies, and all this stuff are just like little chess moves that you don't see the bigger picture, because you're focusing on that. And that was basically with the whole, you know, all these moves back. And so I would imagine, and I think that's a fair point to make, like these, all these little things that we hyper-focus on, it's a bigger wheel turning that, you know, whether it's going to get you to think one way. So then when this happens, like, it's brilliant strategic planning is what I'm going for. Yeah,
absolutely, man. We were ruled by some very intelligent people. And I think that the worst thing, and I know you've seen this, we've all seen this, if we pay attention to politics, you know, a lot of people underestimate their enemies and they say, well, that guy's stupid, or she's just totally idiotic. Like AOC, she's a buffoon.
Oh, the boomers love those memes.
Right, right. And she's actually playing a part just so she can, you know, make the Republicans insane. She knows exactly what she's doing, and that's why she's there. And so a lot of these people, and I'm not saying she's like a Henry Kissinger type, you know, strategist or anything, but there are some very smart people that we're ruled by. A lot of people we'll probably never see, but they know exactly what they're doing. They all have a part. They're a part of the gear that turns, you know, to make this whole thing happen. And it just reminded me too, I just wanted to mention this quickly. I saw somebody tweet that Joe Rogan, I guess, had come out and said that if we got rid of the elites, that everything would fall apart. I thought that was an interesting statement.
That's a very weird statement, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, he does have this weird, respect for authority, you know, especially if you mix science in there at all. And I've noticed that before. But anyway, I thought that was an interesting statement.
Yeah, that is. Well, he's buddies with the one CIA guy. I forget his name, who comes on the show. But if any time, like, there is no ex-CIA, as we all know.
Right.
But that, and so what's, I know that you were working on Ukraine and then also like your Illuminati topic. What book are you reading for that?
Oh gosh, it is The Perfectionists. Forget the author, but I've also been looking into the old school books, John Robison's book, Proofs of a Conspiracy, and the Abbé Barouel, I think is his name. It's like something about Jacobism, but it's like it's all about the Illuminati as well. And I've got like six or seven books that's talking about it. And I'm trying to like go through all of them and meticulously point out the best parts, you know, so I can, cause like I've listened to a lot of podcasts in the past that talk about the Illuminati, and it's just like, they just hit the highlights.
Yeah.
You know, like we've talked about in the past, it's like they just go on Wikipedia almost and just like, well, I'm going to read this and read this. But I want to bring out some like really credible stuff. And it's kind of hard to find, you know, if you really want it, because there's so much BS about them.
Right.
Because like every conspiracy writer wants to write something about the Illuminati. And just the same stuff. But
yeah, well, I just keep mentioning because that's what I'm reading. But he even brought, so, you know, the story of how they got caught was like the guy was riding his horse and a lightning bolt struck him down. And then like a German police officer found all the papers to what they were doing. Like he was saying, again, this is like an art of war tactic to like say, see, we're getting all of these secret societies, guys. You don't have to worry. You know, we just kicked the Jesuits. Now we got the like, you guys are fine. No one's trying to manipulate society. But like, really, when he said that, I thought about it. I was like the odds of the Illuminati guy with all the paperwork. He's riding his horse and he gets struck by a bolt of lightning. And that's like, really, dude, like that sounds kind of like a 9/11 like lie, like a man who was riding camels in caves was able to bypass NORAD with one lucky shot. Right. I mean, that is absurd. Like, I obviously miracles happen. Maybe God struck him down, but I don't think so, dude. I think that this was a made up story and Adam Weishaupt, who was educated at Jesuit school,
right,
he wanted this to come out because it was then you didn't have to worry about them, and then you were like, oh well, they're done, we got them all, they're gone, and then they could continue operating behind the scenes.
Yeah, it was a very interesting operation because, like, you know, he was surrounded by Jesuits, but he was like kind of disenfranchised with the Jesuits because his uncle that he lived with, he had all these books, you know, that had the Catholic Church had gotten rid of for heresy. So that's kind of why I think he turned out to be so radical, you know. And he says a lot in his writings. He talks about the happiness of man, and I think that's interesting because, you know, as if a government, or, you know, we have to make ourselves happy. It's kind of between us and God, but he really makes that an emphasis of how they could eventually make men happy by getting rid of the government structure and doing these different things. I just think that's kind of an interesting point to make because I never heard anybody really talk about that. And it was a really interesting group because it started out small and he became a Freemason. And then he started kind of infiltrating these Freemason lodges, and they were really big at the time. And before you know it, they had a pretty good following in the different lodges there in Bavaria, and it started to spread even farther than that. But he was a kind of a messed up dude. Like, he got his brother's wife pregnant.
Damn.
And he always talked ruthless about virtue and stuff like that. You know, he made it a real point to be virtuous and to never lie and all that. But he ended up having to lie like a dog to try to get out of that. And he was trying to get an abortion for her and all these things he went through. And he really had an ego problem. And that started to set a bad seed with some of the other members. And I think that was really what led to his downfall. But, you know, the author, I think his name's Terry Melanson of the Perfectibilists. It's a great book. I mean, he researches, he's got footnotes galore, but he kind of says in there, like, his thoughts are that they didn't continue after they were disbanded in Bavaria, but there was like three different edicts that were issued before they were finally like, hey, if we find any Illuminists, we're going to cut their heads off. I think that was one of the penalties. And they all fled, just like the Templars. They fled all over. And the author even says that they go into these other countries and they start these other organizations. And they weren't called the Illuminati any longer, but they were called other things. And then when those things would eventually get found out, then they eventually went to book clubs. And they formed these book clubs of these elites. And it was mostly professors and journalists and actually some ministers. But that's who it was. They formed these book clubs, these radical book clubs that would quietly talk about how we need to, you know, overthrow the government and stuff like that. And they did have a real influence on the French Revolution. There's no question about it. Mm. The Jacobins and all that. So it's a really interesting thing. But they seem to me... like, I don't think there's probably a group called the Illuminati anymore.
Right.
You know, we call every conspiracy the Illuminati, people that, you know, that don't really know about it. But they seem to carry on at least into the mid-80s. And that's, you know, 1833 is when the Skull and Bones was created. And there's a lot of similarities between them and the Bavarian Illuminati. And they, you know, that came out of Germany. And we don't know much about it, but we know that it came from a German order that was, it had already existed, and many people think that was the Illuminati. So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Well, dude, and also like these groups, Freemason, like they're all like the lie is that like these Freemasons and like founding fathers, they're these Christian people and they wanted freedom. And you know my feelings on that big lie, but like even on the all of our American stuff, like the so I don't know if it was John Adams or whoever they wrote, rebellion of tyranny is obedience to God. But yet nowhere in the Bible does Jesus say you should rebel the government if it's tyrannical? That's what you do. But all these like over these revolutions and things like that, they make it out to be like this Christian fight. And what I'm saying is like that these groups like the Illuminati and Freemasons that are behind all these revolutions, they're not Christians. They're the opposite of Christians. They're probably like Gnostics or Luciferians or something. And they're just so good at tricking us with propaganda that we go along with whatever they say, because we think like, just like in our American Revolution, like, oh, this is the Christian thing to do, to fight and kill people and to rebel over taxes and tea or whatever. I don't know what my point was with that really, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a wild thing, the strategy and the mindset behind all that and the way that our own beliefs are used against us, you know, because intelligent people know how to manipulate us. And, you know, with these secret societies, I think that's the biggest thing is the secrecy and what it can do, the power, just the power in secrecy alone, you know, especially when, you know, these gentlemen and I guess women too, to a degree, but these gentlemen, they get in these secret societies, they get in these positions of power, whether it be in government or the private sector. And a lot of, you know, they can make a lot of things happen, especially if they have other members with them that are sworn to secrecy and sworn to help each other, you know?
Well, the saying is absolute power corrupts absolutely. Secret power corrupts absolutely, but secretly, or something like that. I read that somewhere.
Nice.
But I also wanted to say, like, the banning, like, of the Illuminati, like the Catholic Church, you know, they went after the Templars. So again, this was like, then the Templars spread out. They said, you know, Jacques de Molay said, go, and they went to, you know, all four corners. That's why you got the Teutonics and the Freemasons in Scotland and whatever. But the same move, like, so they, you know, the Catholic Church kicked out, they banned Freemasonry. They said, you couldn't be a part if you're, you know, you can't do that. But the Pope at the same time had Freemasons in his little circle of trust. Like, these people are such liars, and they do these things all for show to trick you and I, who are, you know, the public, into thinking just we're just so programmable, and they've exploited that so well, dude. They're so good at exploiting people's trust and just wanting to live a good life and a nice life and all these things. You know, it's just disgusting is what it is.
Absolutely, man. And you know, talking about the Jesuits, it's one thing that, you know, I've noticed is, whether it be Cecil Rhodes or the Fabians, they talk about, and there's other groups too, but they talk about the Jesuits and the tactics of the Jesuits.
Interesting.
And so they've influenced a lot of people. I think it's the secrecy again, you know, because less is known really about the, you know, we know the Society of Jesus, like if you went on their website, and they're this good group of Catholic Christians who like to help the community and different right. things like that. And, you know, they basically took over education and, yes. You know, to a huge degree. And, you know, the influence of that, the power in that is humongous, even though probably, you know, the average person who was Jesuit educated has no idea about any of the indoctrination or, you know, and it may not even be a nefarious person at all. There must be that upper level, that upper circle, that secret circle that have been nefarious and after power, you know, ever since way back in the day.
Well, and the, like you said, with the schools, like they started the free colleges in Europe. And even if you didn't, which most people would go to a Jesuit college, but if they didn't, they would be, their curriculum was influenced by the Jesuits. Like, this was so crazy. I read this, I did this in my last show, but like this, the one big Jesuit college, I think it was St. Omer's, but this guy, he's a priest, he's a professor there, and he teaches a moral ethics class. And this ethics class, it's something called causatry. And basically, like, the example, this is in his book, like what he taught kids. He said, oh, if you're, husband catches you, your wife, and she's an adulterer, you can honestly say you're not an adulterer, because in the Bible, adulterer is like synonymous with idol worship. So she wasn't idol worshiping someone. So, and like, this was a Jesuit priest that was teaching this stuff, and all the other schools around started using this curriculum. And they realized, like, that they were also the first ones that started the theater. Like, all of the theater was Jesuit ran. So they started the one quote was like, cause it was in Bavaria or Hesse or whatever in Germany. And afterward, the princes or whatever, the dukes, they all left the play, all 15 of them. And they did these spiritual exercises that Ignatius Loyola taught to do. And the guy who put on the play said, this was more powerful than 100 sermons. So, like, you could see how this power of, these guys were just so brilliant even back then, and realized people don't want to read. They just want to be entertained. Entertainment is the way to the mind, dude. And I just found that crazy how, and then, you know, Shakespeare, they kicked out the Jesuits out of England, or they separated from the Catholic Church. But Shakespeare, the most, he had the same kind of plays. Like, it wasn't like there was symbolism under symbolism more than what our English teachers taught us. And it was just this Jesuit group, this secrecy group, was so powerful at manipulating the public through entertainment and education. It's, you're right, though. Like, if you can educate that young generation, you will be golden, dude. Look at Hitler tried to do it. Stalin tried to do it. And we're doing it now. And you saw, like, there's like a pride. I don't know if you saw that video. There was a pride parade in a kindergarten class in Texas. And they're walking around, like, I mean, it's going to be successful, because if you get enough young kids and you indoctrinate them, that's the generation that's going to come up.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Cause they're people are, you know, at a, like you said, that like when you're young, you're susceptible to whatever information you receive, you know, and you know, a lot of older people are susceptible too, cause they never really had a basis or a foundation for beliefs and never really knew who they were. And I think that's why a lot of people follow these, still follow political parties, you know, because they don't really have a real solid hold on who they are or what it means to be alive and to be a human and stuff like that. But
totally,
it's crazy because hardly if you ask the average person, they wouldn't even know what a Jesuit was, you know, no. Still. After all these years, you know, they've been such a big part of history and, you know, they've had, you know, according to Bill Hughes, I mean, they were behind Lincoln's assassination. They were, they poisoned another president. I forget which one, tried to poison another one. I mean, they've been behind, or at least Jesuit individuals have been behind so many things, even going back to, like we said, the Illuminati in Bavaria there. And well, you look at the Freemasons, the Scottish Rite, you know, those higher degrees were created by a Jesuit and influenced by a right. Jesuit, Ramsay, even though a lot of Masons try to say that's not true. It's obvious if you just look at the names of a lot of those higher degrees, they're Jesuit, you know, they're Catholic names, you know, right. So.
Well, and also like the Freemasons were perfect for them because it's a secret society group. You don't know in the room, you know, that there's a, you know, a superior, a top dog. And maybe it's kind of like the Black Pope and the Jesuit Pope. There's like the Grand Master, who's like the face of the public, who goes around kissing babies and shaking hands. And then you got the other guy who's actually pulling the strings that nobody knows who it is, that gives these bylaws or beliefs. And he just passes them down. And these people, they're ingrained to listen to like your superior, not question, to follow absolutely, and you sign all these oaths of death if you know, step out of line. And it's the perfect groups to covertly just take over the world because nobody can see them. Nobody, they're not waving a banner like the Nazis are or something like that. They're an enemy that is invisible.
Absolutely. There's a reason why the intelligence agencies are connected to these groups like the Freemasons, like P2 in Italy, and obviously the Jesuits. It's because of that secrecy. It just goes hand in hand with intelligence and espionage and infiltration and even politics, because, you know, once you establish that that seat of power, you know, you will do whatever it takes to get others like you in with you, so you can continue to kind of grow the power and get the things you want done that the order wants done.
Well, there's a lot of similarities, it seemed, between the Jesuits and the way the CIA operated. And of course, all those guys are Knights of Malta for the Vatican Church. But like the East India Trading Company, that was Jesuit ran or Jesuit corrupted. Like these four guys, they got a note from the Queen, said, "All right, we're going to go talk to the Emperor of China." And they heard of all these great things. They get arrested, supposedly, like off this little island by India that is Jesuit ran. They work out a deal where two of them become like faculty members at the church there or whatever. And then they let the one guy go. And from then on, the East India Trading Company is ran by Jesuits, who, and we know they were behind the opium wars and flooding opium into China. And what the CIA do? They do the same tactic of front companies to sell drugs, essentially. That's literally what the CIA does.
That's wild, because, you know, there's a connection to the Skull and Bones too, because I think it was the Russells, you know, were big opium traders for East India, and there's a huge influence also with the in higher ed from the Skull and Bones members. So that's funny. There's got to be a connection with the Jesuits there, because they like there's so many Skull and Bones members who've went on to be deans of colleges or professors, or a lot of them have had, you know, high positions in colleges. So that's wild, man.
Well, and that was like the two things. So the like required history classes, I talked about this in my last show, but like in 19, 10 or whatever, it was like 98% of universities required a history class. We're at the only one college of the top 50 best ranked colleges, whatever that really means. Only one of those 50 requires a history class. And that was what the Jesuits did, though. They pushed this humanist, they called like a humanist curriculum or like a collective curriculum. What does that sound like to me when I hear humanist and collective? It sounds like a social justice warrior classes. And what do we have in college now? And this book was written in like the 80s, dude. So to have that foresight now to see that, I mean, that's literally what's happening to our universities are a joke. Like,
oh yeah.
They're ridiculous. I saw it. Steven Crowder, he wrote like a paper about fat being fat and why that's good. And I don't know. But it got passed for a PhD submission or whatever. And I know James Lindsay has done the same thing. He's got like, oh, I think my male dogs are humping my, like these ridiculous things. And that's what goes into college now. Like, it's a joke. It's a joke.
I can only imagine. I may have mentioned this on the show before, but like having three kids, like I can see even in that time period, the quality of teachers has declined so much to now, like, my kid just changed schools, but like before that, it was this horrible school. But like, I had noticed that the teachers had went from being kind of grown up people that you would probably respect mm-hmm. for the most part, serious people, to these young adults who were just oversized kids obsessed with, you know, Marvel and Star Wars and stuff like that. Sorry, Kyle, but I'm just saying, like, overly obsessed right. and wanted to be a big kid and wanted to be the kid's friend
yeah.
instead of a role model and a teacher. And that was so evident, man. I've noticed that, you know, like they're all about, you know, you can spot the social justice teachers because of the hair, of course, it's usually purple or green or something like that. But yeah, they're there to, it's almost like teaching has become a fad or like a lifestyle, like a you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
fantasy kind of thing. Like, I'm going to be a teacher. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of thought put into it. And I think because of, well, social media for one, but because of movies too, I think that we're just living in a world where so many people are in a fantasy in their heads. They're living out this fantasy. You know, they're not really in reality, and they don't take things as serious as people once did. And I think that's another reason things are declining.
Yeah, dude. Well, teachers have so much power, and it's working perfectly. Like you just said, like your kid, I mean, the point of that, like the history class thing was that if you don't study it, like, you know, people in this chat and you and I, you would learn nothing. You literally would know zero history. And why is that beneficial? Because they can do the same things over and over again. You'll never recognize the patterns. You'll be taught Abe Lincoln and Alexander Hamilton. And beyond that, you will have no deeper knowledge. It's perfect. And people are so obsessed with, like you said, Marvel or Disney movies. Yeah. They could tell you every goddamn like Easter egg or who character is in the corner of that screen, who that's supposed to be, but they could not tell you anything past, you know, Hitler, Nazis, maybe Vietnam, but beyond that, no, they wouldn't, they know nothing.
I know. And it's as cliche as it sounds, you know, those who don't know the past are doomed to repeat it. And we just keep repeating it over and over and over again. And that's one of the things that's so frustrating because, you know, you and I can see that and, you know, other people are just in this, you know, this weird world of fantasy and, you know, give me Netflix and chill. And I just want to be entertained until my mind is numb, until I fall asleep. And it's really, they just don't have a clue what's really going on. And the dumber they get, the more power the elites get, of course. So.
Right. And then they put more faith in like, whether it's Joe Biden or, and that was another interesting thing. So not we all, but people like stand for these politicians. They will defend them, all that stuff like that. And in Rome, like Caesar started, it was called Pontifex Maximus. And so they like, basically they had to deify Julius Caesar because they were conquering these lands who had a god king. So they deified him. You worshiped, you know, he was a part, he was a son. They created this whole backstory of him about, you know, he's like, and his, and all of his family were, you know, like God, half gods or whatever. And that's what I see today, dude. Like we have that today. It's not, maybe it's not just Joe Biden, but who we have that. I mean, people worship these people where I don't think 50 years ago, like your dad or my dad or grandfather, parents, they weren't worshiping JFK or LBJ. They probably, you know, they would disagree with people, but they, like, it's an absurd amount of energy that's spent like following the, and agreeing with them and doing mental gymnastics to say they're right.
Yeah, that's the thing that I've noticed. Like I was saying, is kind of like teachers. It's like the teaching thing has become kind of like a lifestyle, like a fad, you know, instead of like a, that's the same thing I think with politics. You know, before it was kind of like that on, I think on the left more a few years ago, because they had the power of Hollywood,
yeah.
But, you know, since Trump, and he kind of evened the things out to where mostly before it was older people who were Republicans. And at least if you're older, you've had some life experiences, but then he brought in all these young people, which is not necessarily bad because they got interested in politics, but they had no life experience. And I think that politics is just like following politics is like a, it's almost like following your favorite superhero, you know, your favorite, you know, team or whatever. Yeah. And people don't put hardly any thought into it. You know, they just want to sit in front of, you know, Tucker or Maddow or whoever and be told kind of what to, not really told what to think, but they want their, what they already think reinforced. And that's what happens for the most part. Mm. And if they can get a couple of sound bites that they can repeat at the, you know, the water cooler, so to speak, the next day, then that's cool too. But it's, if they have to, you know, they are not going to spend any time actually researching things, you know.
No,
it's pitiful,
because that's hard work, that's difficult. Yeah. As you, we both read, and like there's many times when I'm like, damn, I just worked, I really don't feel like reading, but I know that if I don't do it, like I'll feel like I wait. And it's just like working out or whatever you do. And like if you could get more people just to, even like just to start anywhere, like reading fiction or something, you're going to start like opening up a whole new world that you will learn. Like I've learned so much in the past 2 years from reading and doing these shows.
Yeah, and, absolutely, man. It's amazing. I never liked to read before. I was in a band. I just liked to play music and I'd write songs or whatever, but I never cared about reading and learning about history. You know, even when I first got into politics, I didn't really care too much about history. I had no idea there was this huge world of knowledge that had been hidden from me.
Right.
You know, and stuff that really isn't even that hard to find, but it's just, if you don't have, you know, I will say, if you don't have someone in your life that can at least give you a little doorway into it, it's kind of hard probably to break through. Even though now with social media and so many freaks like me and you like posting these things, you know, I think it's overwhelming to people though. If they have no idea about it, they just think we're lunatics, you know?
So last time I wanted to, so just, this goes on this topic. So my wife or fiance, her dad, he's like a secret Trumper. His wife would beat him up if he came out as a Trumper. She's a big CNN lady. Like I got to record the show tomorrow way early because they're coming. But he texts me yesterday and he knows I have a show. She doesn't. And he texts me and he says, what's the NWO? Because Joe Biden in his speech said, what's the end? Or, you know, I guess he said this, we're going for a new world order. And he said, it sounds like a pie in the sky. And so I briefly said, I was like, well, it's the goal of a one world government, one world religion. And they're getting closer and closer to it. And I said, I'll explain it more privately to you. But that was so amazing that, you know, I think it is like, oh, some people are real because they know something's wrong. They can't put their finger on it. But what was your take on Biden's NWO comment? Did you hear it?
Well, I just saw like a GIF, I guess, like they had audio and it just said that one line.
Yeah.
So I haven't really got to check out the context, but I do have like, on my show at the end of the intro, he had said something about the New World Order a few, like probably like 10 years ago. And I had that in there. So, and I think there's even an article out there from probably around that time. And it's by Joe, if I'm not mistaken, talking about, I think it says we need a New World Order, something like that. New World Order is in the title.
Yeah.
So I mean, we know that that's what they want, you know, right. And it is, it's amazing. You know, I think that we've talked about that before, but like so many important people have talked about the NWO and still so many people have no clue.
Right.
You know, Kissinger's got a book called World Order. You know, George Bush has those creepy, the creepiest speeches I've ever heard where he talks about the right. New World Order.
Right.
And we will. He's like,
that's pretty good impression, dude.
Oh, man. But
no, but it's funny. Crazy. Like, I wonder, I don't know. It's just people can't, I don't think it's, especially if that's your start, your jump off point into the truth or world, you'll be really like, you're not going to understand like one world government. No, that's impossible. I can't see that. But it's just like, and this is, you know, like you said, they write Kissinger's book and the people, they write these books because they know no one's going to read them and they'll yeah. tell you their plans. And they've been doing that for since the 1500s as well. Like this yeah. Jesuit priest wrote about how you can trick Protestants and bringing them secretly into the Catholic fold without them knowing it and worship and do it. It's or the Jesuit fold, like worshiping, you know, the Gnostic God. And that's what we do today, dude. We all like people, they don't know. They have the, you know, doing hippy dippy yoga and stuff like that. All these things that you think, oh, well, that's like Christian of me. It's not. It's not Christian of you, actually. Yeah. Like, you know, it's just we're so trickable. And I don't know how that interact with the NWO. But anyway, do you have any last words, Odd Man?
All I will say is just, don't believe what you hear on TV. Look into it. You know,
look into it, man.
Yeah. compare, like, look at a conservative site and then look at a liberal site on certain issues and then compare them, you know, and kind of contrast it. And if you can find kind of a somewhat independent journalist, you know, find one and listen to what they're saying, especially about, geopolitics, because in times of war, you know, we're always surrounded by propaganda in times of elections and in just any time, but in times of war, it's like tenfold. So I think that if people started looking into the history of Ukraine and what has happened there and what the State Department and what George Soros has done through open societies, they'd be pretty surprised at what they're supporting.
Yeah. I think that's a nice, that's a good little tip, dude. I'm going to think of you now when I have two newspapers. But where can everyone find your show and your work? And you're real, I really want to say too, you're doing so well, like with your post of researching these people's connections. You've had like 10 awesome, I know some of the things you said here tonight, but I forget them. But those are, it's been really great that you're posting all that just to show people how they're all connected. But yeah, but where can they find you and all those things?
Thanks, man. So you can find me at theoddmanout.podbean.com. That's the show. And if you want to get a hold of me on social media, it's _theoddmanout on Twitter and Instagram.
Nice, dude. So thank you, Odd Man, for joining us. I'll be back here tomorrow at like 7:15 p.m. for part 3 of Rulers of Evil. And I'm Jack Allen. Thanks, guys. We'll see you tomorrow, hopefully, or talk to you soon. Peace.